The seventh lesson from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing has come into being. And what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Moments. Some moments define all other moments in life. Some moments are of the quality that they have the power to give our life meaning, stability, and a sustaining direction. We spend our waking lives pursuing, chasing moments. When I was in college, your age, I pursued and chased various kinds of moments. One kind of moment I desired was victory, was to win. I loved competition. Baseball was my field. I trained, I punished my body, I got up early. I wanted to prepare for that moment when I was given the ball. I wanted to experience the perfect pitch, like a Rembrandt, 1 centimeter off the black. The thrill of face-to-face situations. I lived for those moments of the battle of wills in a game. Underneath this was the chase of a hope that if I won, if I was victorious, I would be important, I would matter. Another kind of moment I chased was getting grades, good grades. I wanted high scores, like you, some of you. I studied a lot. I prepared for class. I went to the writing center. I rewrote papers. I read books on how to read books. I memorized, I drilled, I studied late in the library. I wanted to experience that moment of opening my report card and the grades representing my hard work. I gave hours of my life to pursue this moment. I wanted the moment of feeling smart, because deep down, most of the time, I just felt dumb. I wanted to know what it was like to have some external verification of success. Another kind of moment I chased was the desire to feel loved. I wanted to feel attractive. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to feel intimate. I wanted to know the moment of what it was like when somebody would say, "I love you," and mean it. And the best way I thought to do that was to chase relationships. I did. Though this desire was good, it also got twisted and took me down some selfish paths. Because the love I was after was really about me. Underneath that chase was the fear that I was not lovable, and I wanted to know that I was loved. The moments we chase have the power to define all other moments of our life. The moments that we chase change over time. They change in the seasons that we enter into. The moments I was chasing in college to win, to be smart, to feel love. Those are still there, but now there are different moments that I see as significant. Now, I'm a middle-aged man in a minivan. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my minivan. But I can tell you that this season of life has given me some other kinds of moments that I hold precious. Tonight, can I share with you one that I've had recently? My daughter, Ella, is 3 years old. This is a season of life where I can still hold her with one arm. It won't last, I know it won't, and so I'm cherishing this season right now. Gentlemen, I want to tell you a simple gospel truth. This is of the Lord. There is no better moment in life than holding your daughter, who clings with tight arms around your neck with complete trust. You may think you know what the good life is, but until you experience that, you don't know nothing. Nothing like it ever. It is hands down one of the best moments you could ever have. At night, Ella, my 3-year-old, and I have a routine. After dinner, she spends a little time playing. It's mostly imaginative play. And after she plays, we go upstairs and she picks out 2 storybooks and we read. Hello Kitty, Bernstein Bears, Llama Llama, Fancy Nancy, Ladybug Girl, Pete the Cat. These are series. After the stories are read, she brushes her teeth, and then I carry Ella to her bedroom, and we put on her PJs. I tuck Ella into bed, and then she sings, "Jesus Loves Me." Jesus loves me, this I know. Sing with me. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You've got such nice voices. After we sing, we say prayers. And I kiss her on the forehead and I give her the Aaron blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give his countenance upon you so that you might sleep the peaceful sleep tonight. I kiss her goodnight. And then I turn off the lights and I turn on the sound machine that gives the sonic landscape of waves crashing against the seashore or rain against the window pane. And then I close the door. This is our routine. But lately, however, Ella has added a new movement. After prayers, after the singing, and just before I turn out the light, Ella says, "Daddy, will you stay with me?" "Why do you want me to stay with you, Hummingbird?" That's my name for Ella. She's a hummingbird because she's so active and light and beautiful like a hummingbird. "Why do you want me to stay with you, Hummingbird?" "I get lonely," she says. "Me too," I say. "That's why I sleep with Mommy." "I'm scared," she says. "What are you scared of?" I ask. "I'm scared of the dark. Please, please stay with me. I don't like the dark in here all by myself." "Now what are you gonna do?" I lie down next to Ella until she's a little drowsy, and then I try to sneak out. "I'll be right outside," I say. "Don't go," she says, whimpering. I close the door, and then within minutes, she usually falls asleep, usually. A deep REM sleep that lasts until about 5:30 a.m. The other night, however, Ella woke up, maybe about 3:30 in the morning, crying inconsolably, half awake, half asleep, calling out, crying out, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. I rolled out of bed. I put on my robe. I wiped the cobwebs from my eyes and I walked down to her room. The house was as dark as nihilistic hope. I stubbed my toe on the laundry basket sitting out in the middle of the hallway that somebody forgot to put away. Shoot, I said, though I might not have said shoot. Ella's still crying out all alone in the darkness. Daddy, Daddy. I open the door and I come into her room, into the darkness. Daddy's here, I said. And then I got one of the best moments life can offer. She said, yes, yes. I snuggled next to Ella, my hummingbird, and she snuggled next to me, and within seconds, she was sound asleep, safe, at peace. Some moments are of the quality that they have the power to define all other moments, and we have to recognize them or they will pass us by and we'll miss our life altogether. Now that I'm older, I recognize this moment is significant. It won't last. When Ella is close, when her fear is gone, and she feels safe enough to fall asleep peacefully, that's a moment I will always treasure. The moment I chase now are those times when I am with, when I am fully present to those I love, and they fully present with me. Those are the moments that really count. And it struck me then, as it does now, this kind of moment is what we celebrate tonight. We celebrate the moment of God present to us, the moment when the eternal God, the Word, became flesh so that we might not be alone anymore. The moment when God closed the gap between heaven and earth. The moment when God put on the robe of flesh, walked down the dark hallway of time, opened the door of heaven, and stepped into our dark night and said, I am here. Tonight, my friends, we celebrate good news. At some level, we are all afraid of the dark. We are all at some point scared of being alone. We are all a little frightened of waking up from our sleep and there's nothing and no one to hope for. And the good news is that God, the eternal Word, the source of all life, who is light from true light, has stepped into the terrifying darkness to give us himself, to give us his light, to present us with himself. And in himself, to give us new life, abundant life, life without fear, life where we don't have to chase other moments so that we will at long last matter or feel successful or feel loved. When the Word became flesh, it means that our lives matter. When the Word became flesh and lived among us, it means that to be successful no longer has anything to do with the grade, but living in faithfulness with him. When the Word became flesh and lived among us, it means that we don't have to chase relationships because the God of love has chased us. When the Word became flesh, life was given full meaning. The moment when the Word became flesh is the moment when we don't have to be scared of the dark anymore. Some moments are of the quality that they have the power to define all other moments. But we have to recognize them. We have to name them, or they will pass us by. Jesus' birth is God's moment for us, the moment that has the power to give our life renewed meaning and direction. Let's not miss it. The moment of the incarnation means God is with you. This moment means that God is for you. This moment means that God knows all of you. This moment means that the eternal God says yes to you now and forever. This moment is good news, the best news. But the question before us tonight, in this moment, is how will we receive and respond to this news? For the moment when the Word became flesh is also the moment that demands our response. Will we say yes to the God who opened heaven's doors on earth and says, I am here? Will we receive God's light that has come to illuminate the dark world? Will you tonight receive the God who in Jesus comes to offer you new and abundant life? For the scriptures say to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, born not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. If you're in the dark, if you're crying out, hear this good news. God has heard you and has come for you. He has brought light just for you, for us all. The Word becoming flesh means that God says yes to you. It means God is near you. The amazing good news of grace we celebrate tonight is that God is still near, still close. And my friends, he still is. If you say yes to this God, then come tonight. Come to this table where what was inaugurated long ago in a small stable in a forgotten town is experienced tonight with fresh joy. The experience of a God who is even now fully present, giving himself to us tonight so that no one need to be alone ever again. So say yes. Say yes and come, for the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Amen.